Welcome and bienvenidos a todos to our football podcast about Mexican women's soccer. I am Eugene Rapinski, and with me as always is Adriana Terrazas. Adriana, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Eugene. Probably not as cold as you, but you get flurries this time of season, so I'm kind of envious. I only get the cold minus the flurry, so yeah.
I was super happy to see that we got a little bit of a flurry on Tuesday morning. You know, not enough to make anything hazardous as far as driving or anything like that, but nice enough to make it look really pretty. So that's always fun. God, that is like such an old man thing to say, but anyways, we've got a lot of ground to cover tonight. So as everyone, I'm assuming, who listens to this podcast is aware, we have new champions in Liga MX Femenil. They are the old champions. Tigres won their sixth title, beating Club America 3-0 on the aggregate. Tigres won the first game 3-0 at the Azteca, then came back, pitched another shutout in El Volcan to lift their sixth trophy. Adriana, tell me your thoughts on all of that.
I mean, so many thoughts. First of all, I actually thought we would have like reverse results. I thought they might get a tie at the Azteca and then lose at the Universitario, because it just, I don't know, it's the Universitario. I would have never thought that they actually would go scoreless at the Universitario as well. I thought it was just, it's such a strong advantage for Tigres. It's just so unlikely for them not to score. But again, you had three goals from the first leg. So you kind of, I don't think they were comfortable, but they were just not as pressured as they could have been if it would have been like a 1-0 win or maybe like a 2-0. So I was kind of surprised not to see any goals. Sad, because I mean, America twice in a final hasn't scored any goals either, against the same rival. So that only adds to, you know, the rivalry next season. Whenever Tigres and America do meet again, it's going to be like, I mean, it's just one of those things that's going to really be a pain in the butt for America to face Tigres, just because they've lost two finals and scoreless both of them. So that's things.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, it's just, I mean, yeah, Tigres is this powerhouse that's beginning to be awesome for them, but kind of worrisome for the league, right?
I mean, to an extent, you know, I think we've talked about this before. My big fear in this with this league is that it was going to become a two horse race, right? Like, think about like Spain with Barca and Real. Like, that's not fun. What we have instead is almost a one horse race. And that's a little bit unfair to say with regards to some of the other powerhouses like America, Rayadas, and Chivas. But if you combine their totals of trophies with Tigres, they're equal. Tigres has six trophies, which is exactly half of the trophies ever won by Liga MX Femenil clubs. So they're really kind of in a class of their own. And, you know, I think Tigres is looking more like a club that is building to be one of the best in the world, not just the best in Mexico, which, I mean, you know, obviously that is good for them. It's also, I think, good for the league, because, you know, with the amount of resources that the clubs that I just mentioned have, they're going to have to keep up with that. There's no way that they can continue to fall behind Tigres in that sort of like prestige race or anything like that, right? So I think it's tough going, you know, but yeah, congratulations to Tigres. That they definitely built something special there. You know, one of the things that stood out to me, like you said, was the going scoreless in the second game and Tigres winning the first game. They won 3-0. Like I said, Stephanie Mayor scoring in the 9th minute for Tigres in the first game. And as soon as that happened, you could just tell, like, I didn't want to come
out
and
say anything. It was downhill from that point. Yeah.
It absolutely was. I didn't want to come out and say like, oh, that's it, there, it's over. But you could just kind of tell by like the body language, even like the fans, like they knew something was up. I feel like they knew the jig was up. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with Diaz. I'm sure we all thought about it. Like, everything depended like on that first leg. America just staying alive. It didn't mean actually even winning the game, but just making sure you had at least like one goal differential. It's just like just a single goal, because that's difficult enough whenever you do go to the Universitario. So yeah, whenever that second goal from Mari Carmen Reyes came in at the 24th minute, you were like, oh my God, it's not even halftime and you're still losing 2-0. Mentally, they were just gone. It was terrible to see that, because I mean, the talent was there. The performances used to be there, but yeah, América was just lost mentally after that first goal, and even more so after that second. Belén Cruz got the third in the second half. So yeah, I mean, it's tough for América, again, scoreless in two finals against the same rival. So that it really shows that something must be done. Despite the fact that we always speak about the same teams making it to semifinals, Liguilla, et cetera, it seems as though it is something that América could definitely work on for next season. It's just being that, just having that strength, that mental strength to make sure that whenever this does happen, you're not taken down as easily. Because again, the talent was there. They could have easily scored a goal like against Tigres, especially at the Azteca. But they just got lost with knowing that it was uphill after that ninth minute.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I think if they had gone back to the Universitario down just one goal, they would have been in it. They would have been competitive. They would have it still would have been a series, but you know, going back there down 3-0, there's just no way. You know, I think something that we may not have given a lot of credit to is Tigres' defense. You know, they tend to get overlooked a lot, and kind of rightfully or wrongfully so, because it's compared to their offensive unit, right? Their offensive unit just scores buckets and buckets of goals. And their defense has been known to let in some kind of soft ones. However, that being said, they were shut out. They shut out not only América in that final leg, they also shut out Rayadas in the semifinal leg, meaning the last team that scored against them was Pumas, which, I don't know, that makes me feel kind of good, but
warm and fuzzy inside.
Just a little bit. It's a little bit of a silver lining on the season. But yeah, I mean, that's impressive for Tigres, especially considering all of the stuff we've heard about their defense, about, oh, you know, their defense is not good. They need to look at adding players. They need to change their goalkeeper, you know, this, that, the other. I think that unit must have proved a lot of people wrong over those last two legs.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I mean, looking down at everything, I mean, looking at the league start off 2017, we've had, I think you mentioned 12 finals, and out of 12 finals, six have gone to Tigres. Not only because they've won six, they've had even more. Fortunately, they've lost some, and sorry for that, but yeah, I do say fortunately, because otherwise, this would become such a huge problem. I think it's sad to say that, because the team is doing so well, you kind of wish that like they weren't doing as well, just because it does affect the league. It does affect what it's so predictable, like you were saying. It's like what happens in La Liga, what sometimes happens in some other European leagues where it's just so predictable. Hopefully, I mean, what could come next for Tigres is, I mean, first of all, I think they will have down the road some issues regarding like subbing in players, because the squad is getting slightly old. I don't think it's a huge issue, just because they do have a really strong squad. It's just a matter of switching around sometimes and making sure that other players start the games rather than the more experienced ones, and then slowly start making their way in and giving them a bit more responsibility. Other than that, I mean, there are some younger players who I really hope have opportunities to go abroad sometime soon. And that would be great for the team as well, because it would kind of take away some of their performance level just by losing those players. And losing is just, I mean, it's figure of speech. You're not really losing them. You're just opening up doors for them to have other opportunities. The league would benefit from that. The national team would benefit from that for sure. And you can start making this ladder, right, of making sure, hey, we have these players. They've been champions of Liga MX Femenil several times. Open up opportunities for them abroad, hopefully. And then again, also start phasing out some of the more experienced players and bringing in younger players, and then just keep that going, keep that momentum going, because you have the structure, you have the support, you have the project, you have the coach. It's just a matter of getting that going. And hopefully, again, other teams will pick up on that and start building up on that as well. And possibly just because of the change, try to have a bit more opportunities when it comes to the ES.
Yeah, well, I think you are getting your wish on both of those fronts, to see seeing players potentially leaving and potentially coming in. It was the weirdest thing. Right before kickoff of the second leg, Paco Animas let loose that Alison Gonzalez was leaving America at the end of the season, which was quite the thing to say as they were heading into the final final game. They weren't quite done yet, and he's already saying that she is leaving for next season. You know, that's not a slight against Paco or his reporting, but it was just, the timing was super weird. Of course, America lost the second leg. And then early the next morning, my time, when I woke up, I saw a graphic from America thanking Alison Gonzalez for her service with America. The rumors are swirling that she will wind up at Tigres. But what a weird turn of events.
I know. I'm sure it's something that the clubs try to avoid, just because it is really difficult to know that a player is leaving before playing a final, particularly when there are also rumors that she's leaving to go to the team they're playing against. Liga MX being Liga MX. I saw that and I was like, that's just so weird. And it was also weird because obviously we know that she's in a relationship with Ceci, and we saw images of them wishing each other well before the final. It was great to see that. And you're like, wow, so one of you guys is leaving and you're going to the other team and this is happening. Wow, will you look at the time? It's not even like kickoff yet. And then forward 12 hours and we had like the official announcement. So, it's weird timing, particularly after America confirmed it, just like, again, hours after after losing the final. I'm just hoping that wherever she does end up, she'll continue in this, just improving her level. I mean, she's so young, despite the fact that, like, we've seen her just be a constant, like, star for the league. I mean, she's only 21. She is a national team player. And, yeah, I mean, we might not remember it much of the time, but she did start off in Tigres. She was there a year, and then she went over to Atlas, which is, of course, where we all got to know her a lot better. And then she went over to America a year ago for the Apertura 2022. Definitely, I think, not the tournament she expected with America. I was looking at her stats, and the best tournament she had with Atlas, she scored 18 goals, and then she had another one like 17, and then another one that was over 10. And then with America, she started off okay, got 9 goals. Last season was down to 3, which was kind of worrisome, and then back to 7 this season. So yeah, I'm guessing just a bit off from what America expected. And I kind of think that she might not be the last player we see to leave America, not because I know that someone else is leaving at this point, but it seems as though they might need like a bit more changes happening at America, maybe to shake off what happened against Tigres and just make sure that you keep like that process going of bringing in younger players, seeing how they're doing. And if not, I'm trying to find someone else that can take that spot.
Yeah, I mean, she really had a tough time coming back from that ACL injury that kind of ended her stint at Atlas. Mm-hmm. Yep. It took her a long time to get back into playing form. Like you said, the good thing is she's only 21. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not her losing a year of her career that early. Like, it's not great, but it's better than, you know, if she was like in her 30s and that's like, okay, do you actually want to try and come back from that?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I'm hopeful that wherever she goes, it's going to be a good situation for her where she will not, I thought, especially early on, she kind of got lost in the depth at America because they brought in so many different forwards and it was so difficult for her to kind of get that kind of assertive, like, playing time. Like, when she was with Atlas, you knew it was her up top, right? It was her and Boye Iturbide. And like, you knew that that's who was going to come out. And with America, it's like, well, it's like, is it Kathy? Is it, you know, who else is it going to be? Because it was, you know, it's just like a rotating kind of cast because there were so many strikers there. there really wasn't a way to get all of them minutes, right? So hopefully wherever she goes, it will be a good fit for her in that regard. And I think Tigres would be a good fit for her. You know, we saw them bring in some forwards this year to kind of, I guess, take that mantle of heir apparent to Stephanie Mayor. None of them really panned out. It's not like they were bad, but none of them were like, that's me, right? Like that's going to be my position. So it'll be interesting to see if Ali Gol can kind of do that while recapturing some of the magic she had with Atlas.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting. I was just making the math. I mean, she started off in 20s. She started off when she was 60 years old in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me how young some of these players were when they first started, like 14, 15, 16, like, you know,
wow,
crazy. Yeah. You know, she's a grizzled veteran at 21, right? So, you know, speaking of another grizzled veteran that is, what, 24 or something, Jackie Ovalle is rumored to be heading to Manchester United, of all clubs. I definitely did not see that coming, but that would be an interesting move for sure.
I can't remember how many times we've kind of begged for her to leave the league, not because we don't want to see her every weekend, but just because if there's any player that can make it abroad, it's her. She's been just like the best player in the league multiple seasons. She's grown. She's a national team player. She's shown how much talent she has. And yeah, there's still some room for improvement, I'm sure. So apparently what happened is that she has an offer, but she still has a contract with Tigres, which apparently is until 2025 or 2026. So it's not at the point where players can actually start looking into other teams and they could actually go for free. Manchester United would have to pay for her, which, as far as we know, it's something they're willing to do. So hopefully, I have no idea how they're looking into with international roster spots, that kind of thing. But I can only imagine how much audience and just traction and support any club would get if they took a player like Ovalle. It's funny because like all Mexican fans, we even joke about it. It's just like we like flood like the social media of that club, and we're behind that player, whether we supported her team or not. And it would be amazing to see that kind of thing happen, and more so just because of the size of the league, the performance level. It would just be amazing. So hopefully, I know she loves the team. She's mentioned so many times that people rarely understand how much the team means to her. But oh my God, please just go. And if it does, I mean, just sign a loan if you want. Just go off for a year. If it doesn't work, you can come back. But I think it's also really important that other players in the league understand that those opportunities can come if you work hard for them. I think it would be great for clubs to understand what they need to do to make sure that those opportunities actually come for players that have the talent. Because as a league that's still kind of young in that sense, I'm pretty sure it's difficult for them to understand, you know, transfers and moving around and other leagues and clubs and salaries. And so it would be great for us to kind of open that door just a bit more and make sure that other players left. I was remembering the case of Fuentes, who left America, and she mentioned that she had to record like her own video showing how she played, and she had to send her over. And then she kind of found her own agent and she ended up at Sassuolo. So, I mean, it's great for players to have that kind of opportunities, just kind of make their way for themselves. But I'm hoping it's unnecessary. I hope that the opportunities come there and the club support them and understand what they have to go through to make it happen. But I'm just really, really hoping. And if it's not Manchester United, I really don't care if she goes to the States or any other league. I think it would be amazing for Ovalle and for the league as well.
I agree. I think I remember seeing that while Man United was the like front runner, there were a couple of other clubs that were interested in her services, a couple in the NWSL. I mean, we've heard rumors prior of her, you know, potentially going to Houston. You know, so I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think a move for her would be good. even for some of the reasons that we've already talked about, even on this podcast, right? Just to kind of expand your horizons and try to play professional caliber soccer in a different environment, you know, away from home, away from, you know, if you go to England or even, you know, the States, you know, where they, you know, not everybody's speaking Spanish and you have to kind of learn to kind of adapt while you're performing at this high level. You know, the good thing about going to either of those leagues is increased visibility. You know, and I, as soon as she gets acclimated, I cannot wait for that because I know she is going to just tear those leagues apart. We have seen what she is capable of, and I don't think some of these opposing teams are ready for that. And that just makes me just so like a kid waiting for Christmas because you just know it's going to be good, right?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I mean, I understand Tigres, but oh, come on, guys. You've six championships and you have the players. Okay, yeah, you don't have a player that could actually be like exactly like Ovalle, but you do have ways to make sure that you're not going to miss her entirely. And I think, I mean, they have to be ambitious, right? If they're ambitious enough to get six championships, what's the next thing you can do? Hey, like, be the first team to actually have a star player leave in those circumstances. Yeah, you had Maria Sanchez, and she eventually, I mean, after going also to Chivas, going over to Houston. I mean, we do have like these small cases of players that went, and some of them even came back again.
The official.
I'm official, exactly. I mean, just keep that going, keep that momentum going. Oh my God, I'm hoping that Mia's talking to Ovalle and letting her know that she has to go over there. Yeah,
I
hopefully.
think that would be a fun reunion to see them play against one another for
That would be
sure.
awesome.
Or maybe with one another. I don't know Chelsea's situation. Maybe we can talk to some of our friends who really follow them. But see if they perhaps need a left winger who can just, you know, slice and dice people up. That would be fun for sure.
I hadn't thought about Mia. Oh my God, we're gonna tweet out something to make sure that she's talking to Ovalle and just letting her know that she has to go over to England.
We will see. I just want the play. Like, I've always wanted these players to get, you know, the kind of exposure and limelight and the stage to perform on that I feel like I know that they can shine on, if that makes any sort of sense. You know, they've done this for Tigres, one of the best clubs in on our side of the planet for a while. You know, let's see if they can do that someplace else with different challenges, and then, you know, then see what people have to say. So exciting stuff for sure. Any further thoughts? Were there any other transfers? I know that there's some stuff. There's always stuff going on. By the time you hear this podcast, it will probably be somewhat out of date, just because of the nature of the winter transfer window and how nuts it is. So, bear with us. But was there any other big ones, that kind of stick out to you or?
I mean, we were just getting notice in the WhatsApp group that Viri Salazar is leaving Pachuca, which is
That's
so
huge.
crazy. That's huge.
Yeah, I don't remember if she was with them their first season, but she's been there like forever. So, good for her. I feel like they brought in players and she kind of didn't fit, but that doesn't mean that she's not quality, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, they just brought in Charlene Corral and stuff like that. So, but that doesn't mean that Viri is any less of a player. I feel like she's still a wonderful player and has a lot to offer. So I'm excited to see where she goes. I feel like it's in kind of another situation like Alison Gonzalez, just wasn't the right fit with the team that she was on. And you know, hopefully she goes someplace where she can cook, because when she was on, if you remember a few seasons ago when she was scoring like 18 goals, 15 goals or whatever it was, it was fun to watch.
I mean, I can't imagine her having a tough time getting another club, to be honest. I thought she was older, but no, I mean, she's 25.
Yeah,
So,
she's another one that
yeah.
started at like 18 or something, and
Yeah.
she's been in the league forever, so you assume she's way older than she is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure she's not going to have any trouble finding a club. It is kind of weird. It's just one of those players that you really identify with a club, like in her case, Pachuca. But other than that, I mean, yeah, if it's come to that, I mean, it's also good for them. It's good for the league starting to see players, different circumstances, different performance, coaching. So I'm kind of eager to see where she ends up.
Same here. Moving on, I think that's all that we have to talk about, at least for now, with regards to the league. I think once again, congratulations to Tigres, and we will be keeping up with all of the transfer news and maybe not so much with the rumors, but definitely with the news on that. And the other thing that's looming on the horizon is Mexico. They are, I think they're in camp now. Yeah, they should be in camp now because they have a game tomorrow. They are playing against Puerto Rico in Puerto Rico. That game is going to be 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central and Mexico time, and 4 p.m. Pacific. That's going to be on Paramount Plus here in the US, CONCACAF Go everywhere as far as streaming. And then in Mexico, we said that was going to be on what, ESPN Star Plus?
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, in Mexico it's Star Plus, and then for the US we checked it out. Was it Paramount Plus?
Paramount Plus.
Okay, yeah. So
So,
Paramount and Star Plus. Yep.
yep. So that'll be fun. I'm excited to see how they look. They looked really good in their first game, but of course that was in Mexico. They have not played any games outside of Mexico yet. So I'm excited to see, at least
No, we haven't.
as far as this qualification round goes.
Yeah.
They
Oh,
have
yeah.
not played outside of Mexico. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare against Puerto Rico. I think we've talked about them before. They're a team that's, kind of up and coming and kind of putting themselves together, getting, a lot of like dual nationals from the US. But they're not quite there at the level of Mexico yet. I don't think, so
No.
they're not a team that Mexico should take lightly, but if Mexico executes on their game, I feel like that they should win and win, pretty handily. But we'll see. It's always kind of a crapshoot when you have to go, outside of the Azteca or the CAR and, go to a different country and get everybody together and on the same page in a few days and play a rival that's been, training for a week or so.
Yeah, I mean, also just hoping that, I mean, we close off the year with that ticket to the Gold Cup W. Just no worries and know that we're starting off the year because, I mean, that tournament starts off mid-February, I believe, and then goes on into March. And just knowing that that's going to happen, we'll probably hopefully have a couple of friendlies in January to prepare for the tournament and just kind of start forgetting everything that went wrong previous years and just start understanding this is a new process and just kind of look forward rather than backward. Start knowing what's going to be that basic starting lineup for the Mexican national team because we've seen so many players. There's just so many opportunities. And just start to understand you're going to build from this team and you're going to go forward. Then you'll start bringing other players and have this process, you know? So hopefully we'll see that with Pedro. Start to understand. I mean, for instance, we've spoken about the goalkeeping position, right? We have several really good goalkeepers, but it's kind of sometimes difficult to know who's actually like number one goalkeeper and then stuff like that. So understanding again, what the team's going to look like, and just, yeah, I mean, start off the year, right? And have that tournament. First time we're having a Gold Cup W. So it'd be great to see other teams as well. First major tournament after the World Cup. Prior to the Olympics for some of the teams as well. So it will be great to just understand where the rest of the region is at, where we can improve, learn from each other, understand other teams as well. And I don't know, I mean, we've always spoken about we're hoping Liga MX is looking into those tournaments and why not start bringing in some players from abroad as well and just bringing in more diversity to the league as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and we kind of saw that maybe not so much with the Gold Cup tournament, but with certainly with the World Cup. Look at the players that were playing in the World Cup, players like Konya Plumber and Denisha Blackwood, who are with Jamaica, who are now with Tigres and Pumas respectively. Alex Chidiak was with Australia. She's now with Tigres on loan. So I feel like clubs, and especially the bigger clubs, certainly watch these tournaments, and maybe they see a player that does well and that they like and fits into their system and can reach out and grab hold of them. I'm with you. It's always interesting to see how they stack up against the competition in the region. There's the game against Puerto Rico, like we said, that is on December the 1st. That's Friday. It's going to be tomorrow, or we're recording this on Thursday. The second game they're going to have is against Trinidad and Tobago, another kind of familiar opponent for Mexico. That is going to be on Tuesday, December the 5th. That is going to be in Port of Spain. That one will be broadcast on Paramount Plus. I take it back. It's not going to be on Paramount Plus here in the US. It's only going to be available via CONCACAF Go, which is, I guess, CONCACAF streaming service here in the US, and as well as other countries. And it will also be available in Mexico on Star Plus. That game will start at 6 p.m. on the 5th, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's my time, 5 p.m. Central and CDMX time. And then, of course, 4 o'clock Pacific for our friends way out on the West Coast. I'm interested to see how they do against both opponents. I think Trinidad and Tobago is going to be slightly more difficult than Puerto Rico, but I still feel like it's a rival that if Mexico plays as good as we know that they can play, there should be no problems.
Yeah, exactly. We shouldn't have to struggle too much. But yeah, definitely can't be overconfident.
Yeah, I mean, if they go into either of these games thinking it's already won, it
Oh
could very
no.
well be disastrous.
No,
So
no, no.
they do need to approach this in a professional manner. I think they will. I think that they will. There will probably be some nerves and some rust to knock off, but I feel like after the first few minutes, especially the first game, they'll be fine.
Yeah, agree. I mean, we hate comparing teams and leagues, but if there's something to learn from the men's side is that you definitely can't underestimate what can happen in CONCACAF. So please don't.
Yeah, CONCACAF is definitely the Wild West. So yes, anything can and does happen.
Yeah.
So they cannot go into this with anything other than clear heads, full hearts, can't lose. I don't know. They just need to go out and play their game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Anything else that you had on your mind?
No, I mean, just follow up with the transfer window. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Start seeing some of these players shake things up a bit in the league. Hopefully, I mean, we'll have, I mean, first of all, hopefully we'll have a schedule for next season sometime soon because I know the men's side will start off the first week of January. I'm not entirely sure about the women. We usually somehow, and for some really terrible reason, find out like a couple of weeks before. So I'm guessing they might come back for the 12th. It just sounds about right, hopefully. So yeah, I mean, just keep up with the national team. They're going to send off 2023 activity for women's soccer in Mexico. And hopefully we'll start off 2024 knowing that we'll have Gold Cup W to look into in February. Hopefully bring in some other transfers, hopefully from abroad. Even better if we find out about players leaving the country and going off to other leagues. That would be nothing short of amazing. So yeah, I mean, just follow up on that and we'll follow up with a national team who's yeah, let me, I guess the last of women's soccer in Mexico to have some activity in 2023.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Never a dull moment. Like you were saying, I think they usually start the season on like the first full weekend in January. That would be the 5th, or like you said, they could do it on the 12th. We should know hopefully soon. But we will certainly keep our listeners posted on that. So don't forget to follow up with us. Follow up with the hashtag LigaMXFEMENG. Because at the end of the day, it is indeed our football. Thank you all so very much, and we'll see you next time.